The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255. 458 Talk, what's on your mind about firearms today? It's another great day in Fairbanks. The sun is shining. It's just gorgeous out. Temperature is 16 degrees, and Melissa is expertly running the board for us. And remember, she keeps the Shooter's Corner archives up to date, so if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a day. Thank you, Melissa. Now, we won't have time for our usual history stories today, but I will make that up to all of you next week. I have some good ones. Today, we have a guest, Andrew Ault, who has been on Shooter's Corner before. Andrew is president of the Fairbanks chapter of the Alaska Machine Gun Association, that's AMGA, and he called in last week to share information about the Cushman Range renovation plan, but our phone connection didn't pick him up clearly, and I thought it was important that we hear what he has to say on the planned changes for the Cushman Range, and he graciously agreed to do so. So welcome, Andrew. And after we talk about the Cushman Range, I want to talk about my idea how to teach gun safety and gun handling to hundreds and hundreds of gun owners and potential gun owners in our Fairbanks community. And depending on time, I may switch these two around. I also have a review of Ruger's new Marlin 1895 SBL. That's the stainless big lever, 4570, and it's all good. Sounds like a great gun. So with that, Andrew, what can you tell us about the Cushman Range renovation plan?
Well, if you have not heard already, that our only borough-owned and operated shooting range is slated to be closed for 3 months this summer, and they're predicting mid-May through mid-August. So hopefully it'll be reopened in time just before hunting season so people can get sighted in. But it's being closed for some much-needed improvements. Now, some of these improvements, some of us will argue, are disimprovements, and we would rather they not happen. But the improvements that are going to be coming this way, they're going to do a lot of ADA provisions. So a lot of the people that are in wheelchairs or have trouble walking, like with a cane, it's going to be very good for them. Now, I have not heard if they're going to do anything about snow removal in the winter, so this may be a limited time frame for them. They're also going to be putting in a vaulted toilet, a dumpster, repairing or replacing the benches and the roofs, and they're going to pour a concrete pad on the shooting line, so it's going to be a lot easier to clean up your brass when you're done. They're going to improve the backstop, and then they're going to add side safety berms, which that's all a good thing. But the bad parts, the shooting line width that is currently out at the range is going to be significantly reduced because the two side berms, and then they are adding a center dividing berm to split the range into two sections, are going to be placed primarily in the current footprint. So we're going to lose, from what I've been able to figure out using Google Maps and Google Earth and a ruler, is roughly a third of our range width is going to be lost.
Now, that's a lot.
It is considerably a lot. Now, when the construction's all said and done, my numbers might be off, and well, that's because I have not been able to acquire good numbers. I asked the borough for a set of plans or to see a set of plans, and they did not produce them. I was able to get some of the plans. I don't know if these are the actual construction plans or something else, so I don't know what I have. So with it being reduced, I did find in their plans that they're going to decrease the distances between the shooting tables on the rifle range by around 2 feet. Currently, if you go out and take a tape measure to the benches, they're not very consistent, or I should say they are consistently inconsistent. One might be 9'8", one might be 10'4", and the next might be close to 10, but they're roughly spaced about 10 feet apart. And that's from table edge to table edge, so basically 10-foot centers. And that's going to be reduced down to 8 feet. So we're going to have to kind of take that into account if you're out shooting a popular AR-15 or some other gun that spits brass out at the person next to you. We're not going to have as much room. Right now, we can fit two people in side by side typically between the benches. That might not be the case. Probably when my wife and I go out there, we're going to take up two benches instead of only one, yeah, just because of the reduction. And the other thing that's going to happen in the construction, so currently in the center of the range from roughly about 10 to 50 yards, well, right now it extends from the firing line out to the 50-yard berms. There's this large gravel area that's really popular with people for setting up targets and shooting at things. Well, what is there is either going to be covered up by the new center berm, and then whatever is not covered up is going to be dug up and reclaimed and returned back to swampland. I don't understand why we're digging up something that's usable that's already there. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. They're also going to reduce the width of the 50 and the 100-yard berms, and the 200-meter berm is slated to be completely removed. So if you're not happy with any of these aspects of the improvements, now is actually the best time to call up and complain, because construction is not supposed to start until mid-May, and most all large-scale construction projects will have multiple change orders, and if we get enough people pressuring the borough assembly, the mayor's office, parks and recs, maybe we can get certain things changed that reduce the impacts and we keep a decent range. And throughout all this, I've been looking, and I have not been able to find anything that there was a big public outreach involved in this process. I remember roughly 3 years ago, Parks and Rec did a study, but it was a more general study. They had a booth at the fair, and they were asking people what they could do to improve their facilities and services, or what the people wanted to see around. I said we needed to expand the range or build a second range, and I know a lot of other people that did the same thing. I even looked back in Parks and Rec's Facebook postings for the past 3 years, and there were only 5 postings about the shooting range, all for closures, including the one on March 14th that had the PSA about the work this summer. So a lot of people might wonder how many people are using the range. Well, according to the borough's own data, 10,000 people use the range each month on average.
And interesting.
That accounts for roughly 9% of the facilities, pools, and parks users. So summer months, of course, are going to be higher usage months. So we might just estimate that there's going to be 15,000 people that are going to have to find somewhere else to shoot this summer. And that's a lot of a lot of people, and don't have very many facilities to do that. So here's another thinking of what the borough is operating. So the borough is operating 55 parks, 45 soccer fields, 30 ball fields, 7 ice rinks, 6 tennis courts, 4 boat launches, 3 pools, 2 swimming and fishing lakes, and only 1 shooting range. So we're not really getting a decent share of facilities for our user groups. But most people are probably going to be worried about where they should be shooting this summer, since the range is going to be closed. So the Fish and Game Indoor Range has said that they plan to be open on a limited basis this summer, and they're going to adjust their hours and days based upon usage. So the more we use it, the more likely that you'll be able to have weekend shooting. Now, bad part is no high-power rifles. So for your high-power rifles, you're probably going to have to venture all the way up to 36.5-mile Chena Hot Springs Road, which is a long drive for most borough residents. They have about 100-yard range out there. The only problem is there's like 3 shooting benches, so it's really small. And so you can expect the weekends to be very busy, and you might be waiting around a long time. TVSA has an indoor range. It has limited hours. It, too, has no high-powered rifles. A lot of people like to go out to the 9-mile Richardson Dyke area. If you go out there, be very aware of where you are shooting. There's homes in the general area, and a lot of people don't realize, they get a little bit lost driving back in there, taking this turn and that turn. Look up Google Earth or maps or something on your phone when you're out there to see where you are in relation to the homes out there. And look back towards the direction of the homes and do more than a 90-degree turn for where you're going to shoot, because bullets do ricochet. So you could be shooting a rifle 90 degrees away from a home and get a ricochet, and it might wind up in someone's home. And there's been too many incidents of this in the last few years. It's been causing problems. It needs to stop happening.
And we're going to take a break now, and stay with us because we'll be right back.
You never know when you'll need your Snowway snowplow. Whether it's an early dump or a late season blizzard, when you move a lot of the white stuff around, it just makes sense to keep your plow in top shape. Ready to move whatever Mother Nature dishes out? You can rely on Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer, to repair and maintain your plow using Snowway factory original parts. Rogers Auto Repair, located on Dale Road near the airport. Call them today at 907-479-6665.
Weather brought to you by the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks. Your eyes connect you to your world. Care for them with the Eye Clinic of Fairbanks, your eye health professionals on Mini Street.
KFAR weather.
Clear skies and quiet today with highs around 31. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Clear skies and quiet again tonight. Lows dip down to about 2 above. High of 26. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. A dusting of snow tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and today, Andrew Ault, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255. 458-TALK, what's on your mind about firearms today? And Andrew's taking us through information about the renovations at the Cushman Range. So I'll turn the program back over to Andrew.
So before we left, we were talking about other places to shoot around town. So we're pretty much out of close areas at this point. If you venture further south, the city of Nenana has a small range off the Parks Highway. And when I say small, I do mean small. If you blink, you're going to miss it. But if you go a little bit further, the city of Anderson has a wonderful 300-yard range at the end of their RV park. So if you're planning on a weekend excursion, this is a great place. You could camp out there. They do have fees for camping. The city of Anderson's got a very small budget, so if you're going to be a regular visitor to the range, you might just consider dropping a few dollars in the camping fee with a thank you for your nice range. They would very much appreciate it. A lot of people will choose to shoot in gravel pits. Well, it's not actively enforced, but DNR does not allow target shooting in state gravel pits, and they have actually posted some signs there. So if you're out at a gravel pit choosing to shoot, pull out your phone or look at a map, make sure there's no homes in the area. It's amazing how many homes are close by gravel pits, even 40 or 50 miles off the roadway nowadays. There is another small shooting range down by Cantwell. It's a private range. You have to be a member of their club, but it looks like a fairly nice facility, but I don't know anything else about it. But wherever you decide to shoot this summer, do so in a safe manner. So back to the work on the range, it's kind of troubling why this came about and happened so fast. And in my diggings, I have found out that the Off-Road Racing Lions or some other 4x4 group, I guess they've signed or they're in the process of getting an agreement with the borough to lease the land to the south of the range to build a 4x4 park. And this might have a lot to do with why they want a safety berm, which I will not argue the safety berm is going to be a good point. It's just, why can't we put it outside of our current footprint and keep our range? It's a planning matter. If they're willing to lease out land to one group, why can't they lease out land north of the shooting range to another group so we can build another shooting range? It's just really concerning to me.
Yes. And we talked about the comment period. So I remember when the borough sent out, or I got a letter from someone at the borough asking me and probably a lot of other people to comment for the matching funds grant. But I never received any notification that it was a period of comments for this project.
Yeah, and like I said, I had never even heard about what was going on until that March 14th PSA that someone forwarded on Facebook. I don't even follow the Parks and Rec page. I'm going to start doing it now. But, yeah, I had no idea about it. I've been out to the range three times since that PSA came out, and I find nothing posted out there. And you're like, this would be the most logical place to be posting this.
But. Interesting. So what are our options if we want to make a comment?
Best thing to do is either write or email the mayor's office, Parks and Rec, the borough assembly members. Another thing that you can do, which I did last week, is go before the borough assembly during one of the regular meetings. You can sign up to testify on agenda items or non-agenda items. So this would be a non-agenda item. And just state your case. Say, I don't really appreciate what you're doing, and these are my recommendations. One of my recommendations, by the way, was to, and there's enough time still to be doing this, is to resubmit a wetlands plan and expand the footprint of the range, put your side safety berms outside of the footprint, and then use the material to build the center berm, put that to the north of the range, and build 2 150-foot-wide by 100-yard ranges over there, and that would solve so many problems for this borough, and it would be a wonderful facility. But who knows if that's going to happen? It might require too much work or something. I don't know.
Do you know if all the studies they do when they redo ranges, is the study period over and they're actually going to start construction? When they close the range, or is this thing going to end up where we can't even use the range in the fall?
So from what I found, the wetlands permit was applied for like back in December or November somewhere. So the wetlands permit is already approved, and then they put it out to bid for the contractors in roughly February, and a bid has been awarded, so it is going forward.
Okay.
So at this point, you really don't have the option of canceling the contract, but you do have the option of doing change orders. And doing change orders, some of it might cost a little bit additional money, but you know, when they're doing a project right now that's roughly $1.2 million, if we're talking about another 10% on it to have something that's spectacular instead of something that everyone's going to wish that they had never really done, that's a drop in the bucket.
And how about, is there any money for someone to oversee the range facility there during the day, or there's not going to be any monitoring?
I have not seen anything in there about how they're going to start staffing it. My personal assumptions are, since they're building a vaulted toilet, more than likely sooner or later, somebody will vandalize it, catch it on fire, or do something stupid, and then there'll be a big push to have a range officer there and fees to use it. And then, of course, that'll probably come with a whole other slug of rules and regulations that then the usership of the range will decrease, and then we'll start having more problems like out on the 9 Mile Dyke.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is all very interesting. Listeners, if you have any questions for Andrew, call in, because he's the one that knows this. He's been following it and researching it. So let's see. Do we have more for the range? Or?
We're pretty much done on the range, unless anybody's got some questions.
Okay. Well, let me start on another subject here, and then Andrew's got some more subjects for later. So I just wanted to remind everybody that House Bill 203, it gives the law enforcement ability to issue a fine to gun owners up to $1,000 if a prohibited individual gains access to their firearm and proceeds to injure themselves or another. This is the one where they want you to lock up your guns in a state-approved, by a state-approved method, but they haven't told us what that state-approved safe, those levels of safes are. So this is back, and it actually has more sponsors. I listened to the recording of the hearing last night, and what I'll do is I'll email Melissa with the links. They're too long to give you over the program here. The links where you can listen to that. So we have more sponsors. I listen to the testimony. And, you know, they'll just keep doing this over the years until finally maybe we're asleep and this thing goes through. But it is not dead. It has been resurrected. The NRA ILA organization put out a notice. I'll read it to you. House Bill 203 gives law enforcement the ability to issue a fine to gun owners up to $1,000 if a prohibited individual gains access to their firearm and proceeds to injure himself or another. The bill will essentially require firearms to be locked and rendered inaccessible for self-defense in the home. HB 203 is another attempt to punish law-abiding gun owners for the crimes of criminals, and current state law already provides an avenue for cases where true negligence with a firearm is present. So we'll be talking more about that in the future. And that also hits a subject that I wanted to talk about today, but let me cover the Marlin, the new Ruger Marlin first. And if I don't have time to talk about the safety issues, we'll talk about that next week. So how many of our listeners have a Marlin 1895 4570? I bet quite a few of you do. That was one of the first guns I had when I moved to Alaska in the early 1980s. That Marlin 4570 and a Winchester lever action 22, my first two guns in Alaska. And as many of our listeners know, the Marlin Company, like many of our venerable aged firearm companies, had good times and bad times. And Remington bought Marlin in 2007. But from what I read, the Marlin brand did not do so well after that purchase. Now, we all know Remington had its problems too, and finally the hammer came down in its bankruptcy. So Remington's manufacturing plants and equipment and brands were sold off in that bankruptcy. And the winning bidder for the Marlin trademark was Ruger. And since that purchase, Marlin fans have probably wondered what Ruger would do with that Marlin name. So let's talk about a much-loved gun, the Marlin 1895 SBL 4570 that has now been rebirthed. Now, I have not yet seen one of the new Ruger Marlin 1895 SBL 4570s in person, though I will secretly tell all of you the secret over the radio that I will at some point because I ordered one. So here I am again in the gun shortage years telling you about a gun I've only read about in articles and have not had my hands on. Now the articles I've used are from Rifle Shooter Magazine's May-June 2022 issue titled Ruger's First Marlin. The 1895 SBL marks the return of Marlin lever actions, now built by Ruger, better than ever. And another article from Guns and Ammo Magazine online, dated December 21st, 2021, titled Ruger Made Marlin 1895 SBL Lever Action Rifle in 4570. And also a Field and Stream article dated March 17, 2022, titled Rifle Review, Under Ruger's Ownership, The Great Marlin SBL is Better Than Ever by Richard Mann. And I like Richard Mann because he has a great sense of humor. Now, I also used information from the Ruger Company's website on their new 4570. A clue from the Ruger Company text is, quote, note, Ruger encourages retailers to contact their distributors for availability and advises consumers not to leave deposits with retailers that do not have confirmed shipments, end quote. And I interpret this statement to mean it's going to be a long wait. So first, let's tackle the abbreviations. What is the new 4570 1895 SBL? SBL might just stand for stainless big loop, a large loop lever. And if you have big hands, it will be comfortable, but it also means if you've got gloves on, you'll have enough room to comfortably operate that lever. And the new model has a polished stainless receiver and a stainless barrel. It has a laminated stock. And let me finish the features list, and then we'll move on to the commentary from the articles. Some of the more interesting features are the threaded barrel with a factory-installed thread protector. The barrel has an 11/16 inch by 24 pattern, which Ruger's website says will accommodate a muzzle brake or other barrel accessories. The new 4570 has an updated Picatinny rail if you want to mount a scope rings for any variety of modern optics. It comes with a ghost ring rear sight, and that's what I have on my older 4570, and I like that. The ghost ring rear sight is adjustable for both windage and elevation. The front sight is a tritium fiber optic for high visibility in day and night. And the website says that will allow for quicker target acquisition in low light. And I have not tried a ghost ring with a tritium fiber optic front sight. The gun has the push button cross bolt manual safety and also the traditional half cock hammer. Ruger says the gun reliably feeds a wide range of 4570 government factory ammunition and bullet types. They say the new laminate buttstock and forend will remain dimensionally stable in varying weather conditions. And this new gun has nice checkering on the grip. This is a spiral, has a spiral fluted nickel plated bolt. They say that aids in smooth cycling. And Ruger touts the oversized lever loop, the stainless big loop, as providing more clearance for operating the gun with heavy gloves. You can have this 7.3-pound rifle for MSRP of $1,399. And we're going to go to our half-hour break. Stay tuned.
This is Mark Levin. Don't miss the Mark Levin Show weekdays from 3 to 6 right here on
Fox News. I'm Rich Dennison. President Biden today announcing he's ordering the release of 1 million barrels of oil per day from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to help lower U.S. gas prices, which he blames on the pandemic and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. He's also targeting U.S. oil companies.
Congress should make companies pay fees on wells on federal leases they haven't used in years, and acres of public land they're hoarding without production.
The U.S. consumes about 21 million barrels of oil every day. About 40% is used to produce gas. U.S. officials say North Korea may be preparing to test nuclear weapons.
Intelligence analysts have discovered excavation equipment moving dirt at a known nuclear testing site where conducted its last nuclear blast in 2017. North Korea has conducted 6 nuclear weapons tests in its history.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson at the Pentagon. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that in November, Emily Ross and Jack Murkowski were given an assignment in their debate class at Lumen Christi High School in Anchorage to participate in the National 2022 Student Cam Competition put on by C-SPAN. The annual competition by C-SPAN changes themes each year, with this year's theme touching on how federal policy or programs affect their lives. Ross, a junior, and Murkowski, a senior, chose to focus on the impact that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service programs have had on their lives. A lot of that really impacts a lot of people up here, Murkowski said, so sometimes laws and regulations are put into place kind of mindlessly without kind of being aware of how it affects people's lifestyles up here in Alaska. The duo crafted their 6-minute documentary focusing on the personal impact they have seen the program have on their families. Over 3,000 contestants applied for this year's competition. Entries came in from across the country, ranging from middle to high school contestants. According to C-SPAN, the winning entries were chosen for how well the project was researched, its visual components, and its personal touch. Ross and Murkowski were chosen as honorable mention winners for
streaming
the competition.
Online at KFAR660.com.
You've sat in that chair for years. You love that chair. But something isn't right. There's a wiggle that wasn't there. Now you're missing a cap screw that definitely was there. Need a fastener? If it hooks up, holds on, hangs on, clips on, glues on, bolts on, screws in. If it fastens stuff together, Sentry has it. And the largest selection of nuts, bolts, screws, and washers in the interior. Standard to metric, chrome, galvanized, stainless. Sentry Hardware. What you need right now.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz and Andrew Ault. And, of course, Melissa is a big part of our program. If it wasn't for Melissa, we would not be having this program. So please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and tell us what's on your mind about firearms today. And with Andrew here, if you have any questions or comments on the Cushman Range renovation, call in because he's the one that has the information. Now, getting back to our Marlin 4570. If you have any questions about whether you are buying an authentic or the new Ruger-made Marlin 4570 Government, the Ruger website has identifying photos. These are the changes. The manufacturer's location on the barrel should read Meoden, North Carolina. The RP proof mark is located on the left side of the firearm. And folks, proof mark on a firearm is a symbol stamped into the metal of the barrel or other part of the firearm that indicates that testing of that part bearing the stamp by firing proof loads has actually been carried out. So that's what that proof mark is on a gun, a rifle. Ruger-made Marlin rifles, the Ruger-made Marlin rifles begin with the serial prefix of RM. And look for the Marlin horse and rider logo, which is engraved on the rifle's grip. And last but not least, the traditional black and white Marlin bullseye located on the rifle stock is now red and white, a red and white bullseye. So let's talk about reviews of this rifle. In the Rifle Shooter magazine article, the author J. Scott Rupp says he was puzzled by Ruger's choice of the bright stainless finish and chambering. He was expecting the gun to be blued. I like the looks of the bluing on my older model, so I don't know that I'd like the stainless aesthetics, but here's a quote from him. However, among the assets Ruger acquired in the deal were Remington Marlin sales records, and meaning the author, learned the bright, shiny SBL 4570 was Marlin's hottest seller, unquote. Rep writes that when Ruger acquired Marlin's machinery and tooling, they tore it apart to evaluate the condition. Apparently, many months were spent on refurbishing and recalibrating that equipment. And Rep notes, quote, "Why do this? As Ruger's Paul Pleff explained to me, in the past, many of the guns that rolled off the Ilion line had to be finished through hand fitting, and this was due to tolerances that were sometimes a bit too generous and the machinery that wasn't always squared away as it should have been. Interfacing parts often wouldn't work with their mates, and workers would have to fine-tune these parts by hand in order for the rifle to function properly," unquote. And Ruger says the machinery has been upgraded and tolerances have been tightened, so the problems are now a non-issue. And Rep explains that the stainless steel receivers are heat-treated before machining and not after machining. Quote, "Heat treating, which strengthens and tempers metal, usually results in small dimensional changes. So a part that's been machined to X tolerance may be out of spec after heat treating. By heat treating first and then machining, dimensions are exactly what they're supposed to be," unquote. In addition, all parts on this gun that interact with other parts are tumbled to remove burrs and make them smoother. Rep notes that many of the Remington-built Marlins were nice guns. They did not all have problems. But now, Ruger has taken the brand to a new level to improve it. Rep says he has a 444 Marlin built in the Marlin Ilion plant, which he loves and carries on elk hunts, but that in comparison, the new 1894 4570 is much smoother. Of the improvements that Ruger made on these new Marlin 4570s, one is a cleaner trigger pull. Here's a quote. "Ruger now cuts the hammer notches where they engage with the sear via electric discharge machining. And this is much more precise method than the former broaching process, and the trigger spec is now 5 to 6 pounds instead of 5 to 9 pounds," unquote. And the author said that the trigger pull on his sample rifle was a few ounces under 5 pounds. Now, apparently the older Marlins had an area at the back of the receiver where it mates with the buttstock that was prone to cracking, and that has been fixed. The problem, according to Rep, is that Marlin rifles were previously tested with what he calls slave stocks, and slave stocks are stand-in. Here's a quote. "A slave stock was fitted to the rifle. It was test-fired with a stout proof load, And then the slave stock was removed and the actual stock installed on the rifle prior to shipping, unquote. And I had to understand some terminology for myself. So for those of you who might want a definition, a stout proof load means that the gun has been tested with a cartridge made with a heavier charge of powder than what would normally be used in the gun so that the strength of the chamber and the barrel and the action can be tested. So with this previous slave stock procedure, there was no way to ensure that the actual stock did not have flaws that could lead to cracking. So now with the newly designed receiver and that Ruger test fires the rifles with the stock it ships with, the cracking issue should be eliminated. And Rep likes that the newer, larger lever has an edge finish. He said the old levers had a sharp edge and were hard on the fingers, and that is why we might have seen a lot of those levers on the older guns wrapped with paracord or rawhide. Ruger ensures the new current levers go through an extra grinder prep pass, and that smooths out the sharp edges. And about the new bolt, we've seen this on newer rifles these days. That bolt is nickel-plated and fluted. Quote, between this treatment and the trigger manufacturing tolerances, Ruger made Marlin's cycle like better right out of the box, unquote. Doesn't that make you want to just go right out and order one after the program? I read Ruger changed the chamber cutting process to create a more precise chamber. And Ruger made Marlin barrels are cold hammer forged, and this is supposed to produce a longer lasting barrel with smoother bores. The rifle has a 6-round tubular magazine. I already talked about the threaded muzzle to accept muzzle brakes and suppressors. Another change on the Ruger made Marlin 4570 is, quote, Ruger engineers changed the timing of the barrel receiver threads, as well as the barrel torque process, so the front and rear sights will be straight every time, unquote. And I already mentioned the gun comes with an adjustable ghost ring aperture. Rep likes the new front sight that incorporates both a green fiber optic rod and a ring of tritium. The new 4570's fore end is slightly slimmer. The shape is subtly changed, and the checkering was added to the grip. And the author thought this made the gun more comfortable to hold and shoot. And here's the story on the little bullseye on the bottom of the buttstock. As I mentioned, it is now red and white instead of the older black and white. Quote, the bullseye dates to 1922, when it became the company's trademark, according to Lieutenant Colonel Brophy's Marlin Firearms. The choice of red instead of black is appropriate because not only does it reflect Ruger's red branding, Brophy says it's the color Marlin historically used on most printed matter, unquote. Now, I'll stop here with Rep's comments in the Rifle Shooting Magazine and move on to a few comments from the Guns and Ammo staff article dated December 21st, 2021. Guns and Ammo writes that in addition to other Ruger-made Marlin models scheduled for release throughout the year, other variations of the model 1895 will be marketed, as well as the model 336 and the model 1894 will be introduced. And last, comments from Richard Mann's Field and Stream article published March 17th this year. Mann tells us, quote, the original Marlin 1895 was manufactured until 1917. By then, with the introduction of more modern cartridges like the 3006, the appeal of the 4570 cartridge had waned. Production on the new model 1895 began in 1972. It was built on Marlin's stout 336 action. Because that action could handle more powerful loads, the 1972-1895 Marlin was largely responsible for the resurrection of the 4570, unquote. Now, talking about the new front sight on the rifle, Mann says, quote, this rifle has a front sight with an integrated tritium fiber optic vial. This may not offer the same level of extended range precision. He's talking about the older XS sights where the rear sight is just a shallow V groove and you place the front sight within that V groove. But it does seem ideal if you're battling a pissed off grizzly nosing around your tent at night. Now, Mann notes the proprietary rail retains the fully adjustable ghost ring sight, but with 23 slots, quote, It allows for attaching a scout scope, a prismatic sight, a miniature reflex sight, or even a traditional rifle scope, unquote. And here's something interesting from Mann, another quote. The only operational difference between older 1895s and the new Ruger-made version concerns loading and unloading. With pre-Ruger 1895s, after the first round is loaded into the magazine tube, you depress the loading gate with the bullet nose of the next cartridge and push it in. With this new rifle, you must use the nose of the bullet to push the rim of the case already loaded out from under the loading gate before depressing it. Similarly, when unloading, you use the nose of a bullet to push the rim of the last round in the tube from under the loading gate. Depress the loading gate and then let the loaded round slide out. Though this might seem like a flaw in design, it's a better mousetrap. Sometimes when loading or unloading the earlier 1895s, you would depress the loading gate and the rounds in the magazine tube would try to squirt out. With this new 1895, you must push on the rim of the last round prior to depressing the loading gate, so this is averted. And we're going to go to our last break, so we'll talk around the corner.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings the herd to sleep.
In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low.
He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings. Back and forward in his saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated. There is such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater. How they run when they hear the fellas come, because the western folks all know.
You never know when you'll need your Snowway snowplow. Whether it's an early dump or a late season blizzard, when you move a lot of the white stuff around, it just makes sense to keep your plow in top shape. Ready to move whatever Mother Nature dishes out? You can rely on Rogers Auto Repair, your Snowway dealer, to repair and maintain your plow using Snowway factory original parts. Rogers Auto Repair, located on Dale Road near the airport. Call them today at 907-479-6665.
When you think about the blessings of this great country of ours, the list is long. Yet, freedom is chief among them. Freedom to live your life for you and your family. Freedom to keep and bear arms. Freedom to travel without unreasonable restriction. Arctic RV helps their customers exercise their personal freedoms on the road, exploring and camping in beautiful Alaska. Although Arctic RV is closed for the season, they will reopen Monday, April 4th. Arctic RV, rough it in style. See you this spring.
Weather brought to you by Liberty Tax Service. Call Liberty Tax Service for a free consultation. They're in the Teddy Bear Plaza or call 328-3278. Liberty Tax Service. You do life, we do taxes.
KFAR Weather.
Sunny skies today with highs around 30. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 1 above tonight, mainly clear. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, high of 26. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Currently, it's 15 degrees.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Laura Berkowitz on Shooter's Corner with Andrew Ault as our guest today. KFAR Radio, please call in at 458-8255-458-TALK and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. And again, Andrew, at the first of the program, talked about the Cushman Range renovation. So if you have questions or comments about that, call in. And I'm going to finish up on these new Marlin 4570s, Ruger Marlin 4570s. So with a scope and shooting from a rest at 100 yards, Author Mann averaged 1.2-inch groups for 12 three-shot groups, with two of the groups less than an inch, but he notes lever-action rifles aren't for bench shooting. Quote, I also removed the scope and spent some time snap shooting at close range after dusk to simulate a charging bear or buffalo. Starting with the rifle's butt on my hip, eyes, muzzle, target, I could consistently punch a 5-inch circle at 25 yards in less than 1.5 seconds. The bold, easy-to-use tritium front sight was an asset during these drills, unquote. Now, Mann was happy with the Ruger Marlin 1895 SBL, how it handled the various 4570 loads that he ran through it. He said he tried what he would use for deer size game, 2 buffalo bore, 430 grain hard casts, for what he says is for beasts capable of eating or stomping you, unquote. And in closing from Mann, he says, any discussion about what the best 10 rifles ever made might be must include the Marlin 1895. I also believe the SBL is the best version of that rifle. It's compact, fast handling, and powerful, and it's compatible with most any sighting system. It can also be used to hunt any animal walking earth. We've all been wondering what Ruger would do with Marlin, and it looks like they may have created the finest 1895.
We have a caller.
Okay, caller, you are on the line with Andrew and Laura.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I'm sorry, I missed the first part of the show. When is the range going to close?
So they're predicting mid-May through mid-August.
Okay. All righty. I guess I better do some shooting before then, huh?
Yeah.
You and me both.
All right. Thank you, guys, and you guys put on a great program.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling. Okay. All right. So it's an indication of things to come. He says this gun is an indication of things to come and that a little bit of cowboy in all of us is going to be very happy with this new gun. So I'm wondering, cowboys, Kid Hammer and Barlow, are you happy? Are you going to run out and buy one of these 4570s? If any of our listeners are planning to get one of these new 1895 SBL 4570s or have seen one in the wild in Fairbanks, call in and let us know. Now, I think Andrew has a few more comments, and then I'll pick up again when he's finished.
Well, I'm intrigued because it has a threaded end on the
barrel. Oh, yeah, you'd be intrigued
barrel.
By that,
yes.
Yeah.
Even though I have a 450 Marlin myself, and my wife has a 4570 right now, and yes, they are phenomenal firearms. So I have a little bit of NFA and other firearms news.
Hang on, we have another caller.
Caller, you're on the line with Laura and Andrew.
Hi there, my name's Mike. I'm here in Fairbanks.
Yes.
Granite in Delta has those Ruger Marlins.
Oh, they do. Okay. Do they have
go ahead. I don't know how many they have, but every gun and reloader in Fairbanks should have the Granite Facebook page, and he posts almost every day what he gets in, so...
Okay, it's Granite View Sports and Gifts. Yeah, okay, all right. I'm going to watch that. Melissa just showed that to me. Thank you. I think there'll be a whole stream of cars heading out there after the program.
Well, you can call ahead and pay your money, I think, and then reserve the firearm or whatever else you want to buy and then drive down a day or two later and go do the rest to get it.
That's great. Have you seen one in person or drive?
No, I've just seen his website. Living here in Fairbanks, I'm not in Delta very often. I've only been in that store once, maybe.
Okay, well, thank you so much for telling us about that. That's great information. Okay, all right.
All right, bye.
So back to the NFA and other firearms news. About a month ago, ATF did a blanket denial of people that had pending Form 1s for making their own suppressors. And this centered around kits that were available online. And they declared that incomplete components are illegally possessed suppressor parts, and therefore you shouldn't have had them in the first place. This is kind of some odd thinking, because here someone has an item and they're wanting to do the right thing to register it, pay their sin tax to the government, and then have a legal item, but they just put an end to that, and you have to wonder how much money the government's going to spend sending out refund checks to everybody. But this got me thinking, since they're saying that this was already a suppressor part, I started thinking about, I need to do a Form 1 and register a pillow and see if I get denied. Because technically, if you stick a pillow on a pistol, it's an illegal suppressor.
Interesting.
But everybody sleeps on a pillow, so how can they say you have an illegal suppressor if you're sleeping on a pillow? The other news out, there's probably a lot of people that have these that have heard about it, the forced reset triggers, and I'm not talking about the binary triggers that shoot a round when you pull it and then shoot another round when you release it, but the forced reset triggers that are actually resetting on the meat of your finger and then continuing to fire like a full auto. ATF recently determined that they are indeed an illegal machine gun. The industry is continuing to fight this. It'll probably be a long, drawn-out fight. But in the meantime, ATF is saying that if you have one, you must turn them in, surrender them immediately. The legal side is saying that if you do so, make sure on whatever form you fill out that you say that you are doing this under protest and get a receipt, because if it's ever overturned, then you stand grounds to be able to get financial compensation. Now, of course, some of you might have already lost them in an unfortunate boating, snow machining, or ice fishing accident, but oh well. So e-forms, about the start of the year, they started doing e-form 4s, and that's the dealer-to-individual transfers for suppressors, short-barrel rifles, short-barrel shotguns, machine guns, destructive devices, or AOWs. Typically, the paper forms have been taking on average of a year. They were predicting e-forms that it's going to take less than 90 days. Some people have already started getting their approvals back. I heard of one individual getting an expedited form back in less than 30 days. I am currently on day 65 of a pending transfer, so I'm going to see how it goes, and I can report back on that later. The typical AMGA Memorial Day shoot in Anderson is still being planned, so I don't have any definite dates and times on that, but I should in a couple of weeks, and I'll call in and let Laura know.
Okay. We have a caller.
We have a caller. All right, you're on the line with Andrew and Laura.
Hey, Laura, it's Don.
Hi, Don. Are you going to go out and get one of those 40x70s?
That's not really my cup of tea.
You can just bring one back for us, though, Don.
Yeah, there you go. Anybody who wants one, you're not going to have to get in line behind me. I'm not out there to buy that. I am looking for a 1873.
Oh, okay.
For cowboy shooting. So.
Yes.
So, okay, I'll trade. You go get in line for the Marlin, and I'll get in line for the 73, and we won't see everybody in the
hat. Only if I can have your sweet cowboy hat. That's the deal.
I got a new one on order. It's coming. So,
okay.
I'll be really dressed up. So just a couple of quick opinions. Yeah, the Marlin, well, yeah, it's not my cup of tea, but I'm hoping Ruger's doing a better job. Marlin shortly shot themselves in the foot on QC there towards the end. So there are lots of stories about why they were having problems. I'm going to go into that one. But my opinion on the Burrow getting into, quote, improving the range, you got to understand how the Burrow looks at what they think of as an improvement. I think it has a lot more to do with a fat pile of government cash out there to do some certain projects for accessibility and wetlands, and it has to do with making a better place for Fairbanks shooters to shoot. They're perfectly fine with spending $100 million on a, quote, sporting complex, but shooting doesn't come into play there.
You're a little low. I heard it was 150.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, the figures will climb the closer they get to actually doing that project, so... you've got some definite anti-gun factions within the borough bureaucracy, and that definitely comes into play, too. So
yeah.
I hope they do something to improve it, but I remain all hold judgment until I see what they actually do. Hopefully, it will actually be an improvement and not degradation. It certainly sounds like it's not going to be more opportunity. It sounds like a little bit less for a lot of folks.
Yeah, and their PSA actually states on there that they're going to increase I forget what their wording is on it, but it's going to increase opportunities. And I'm like, how are you increasing it when you're decreasing it? Yes, it doesn't make sense. Unless you're...
I think the increased opportunity is for additional borough employees and services and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, part of their plan is that the reason why they're going to divide the range is they're looking at renting out one side to groups or the Hunter Ed people, or maybe even the police, are looking at doing training out there.
Well, that would be an improvement, because that is something that's a need that needs to be filled, mm-hmm. But only if they provide them with a large enough facility to accommodate them. Not
yeah.
Stick and, them over in a little closet and let two shooters at a time go, something like that it's not going to help much.
much.
Yeah, and if it's rented out on the weekends all the time, that's going to really stink for all the shooters.
Well, there's some other issues there, too, because we used to rent that range out for the Youth Hunter Education Challenge every June. And it's very difficult. Like, for something like that, you need to, for your insurance, you need to have the entire range. You cannot allow the public on a part of that range. So that wouldn't have helped. And I think that's going to go with other insurance policies, too. You're allowing the public to do what they want on one side of the range. But the fact is, the parking lot, the entire facility, and anything that happens that affects you outside of your immediate lanes is still against you. Liability-wise. Yep. And so I'm not sure how that's going to work. I think it's more for fishing game using it. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
From experience, you know how difficult it is to mix a group with the public and try to keep things separate. And
yes,
up.
We had to have law enforcement watch the road there to keep.
Yeah.
But, Don, thank you so much for calling in. We've got about 30 seconds left. And
one last thing
is
the Fox Range will be open this summer, so... Folks, there is a range out there that will be available.
Is he doing general public shooting?
I think you have to be a member.
Membership.
Yes,
it's about 300 something. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you want to shoot, there's an option.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Talk
thank
to you,
you.
Later.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, everyone, we've come to the end of our program. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, Melissa. I've got lots of stuff for you, listeners, over the next three or so weeks, getting back to some defensive shooting things. So stay tuned. Have a great day. Enjoy the sun.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.